ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే, కర్మం గ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్భాగవదాఖ్యేయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదయ ఆదికవే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయా. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైలవోత్రమరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరే ఈశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభీ శుశ్రూషుభీ తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేతి తన్మయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం. సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొనిదాదృతానేందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం నకనికాభికాభికావి. నమావోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందం వ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. సో లాస్ట్ last Sunday we were discussing from the Srimad Bhagavatam the departure of Bharata Muni, Bharata Yogeshwara, and also Rahugana, the two, the self-realized souls, after their meeting and being enlightened by Bharata Muni or Bharata Yogeshwara. Rahugana became self-realized on that very moment, and the two souls departed in two different directions. It was after that, with that, the, that is the end of Bharata Maharshi's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in one more chapter, in the next chapter, which is the 15th chapter in the 5th canto, there is a description of Bharata Muni's, Bharata Yogeshwara's descendants, which starts from him. There was his son named Asumati who ruled for some time. And later on, you'll find in that dynasty, there was a very famous king known as Gaya, who appeared in the same dynasty. So the whole of 15th chapter is basically the dynasty of King Bharata after his departure. Who are the other? Sumati came, Sumati's son, then his son, grandson, like that. One after the other, they ruled this planet for a very, very long time. And at the end of the at the end of that 15th chapter, Sri Shugan says to Parikshit Maharaj, "What would you like to hear now? Now that that race is finished, now what does he move on to next one?" So there, when this question came up, Parikshit Maharaj, you will see an important statement makes there, that he wanted to know not about the dynasties and the not about the dynasties or the families or incarnations. Rather, he asked about one important question, that about the construction of this whole universe. He wanted to hear from Sri Shugan. And this is very significant, because why did Parikshit Maharaj ask that question? This is the first thing one has to understand. Why Parikshit Maharaj asked this, put forward this question to Sri Shugan at that point in time? Why did Sri Shugan stop all the other explanations and start focusing on this topic? All these things are coming in the next 11 chapters from now on. Right up to the end, the whole construction of the universe, the planetary systems, the different higher planetary systems, lower planetary system, earthly planet, and the movement of the hellish planets, so many things are discussed in the in that 10 to 11 chapters, in the next 10 to 11 chapters. Unfortunately, when people read this, many people get the impression, is it something true? Or is it something that Sri Shugan is saying to keep Parikshit Maharaj quiet about it? Or is there, how do we understand that this is right or wrong? This question is raised immediately at that point. Immediately at that point, this question has come up in the Bhagavatam, that whatever Sri Shugan has spoken to Parikshit Maharaj at that point, particularly about the next 11 chapters, construction of the universe, Jambudvipam, and the heavenly planets, hellish planets, all these things which are discussed, where is the proof that all these things exist? This is the question normally anyone will ask. And if it does exist, why we have no access to these particular places? What is explained there? So when this question, before this question is answered, we have to look at certain things. What brings us into this point? When Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, he was in his mind very clear about one thing. That this whole material creation, not only material creation, the whole creation as such, what we find in this material world, what is visible to our naked eyes, and what exists beyond than that, is actually the gross body of Krishna. It is Krishna's gross manifestation of this whole creation. There is in the creation, nothing exists except Krishna. It's only Krishna's expanded form, what we see this gross body is this earthly planet and so many other universes. All this has come out of Krishna's body. And because it has come from Krishna's body, this is known as the sthula logam, or in other words, the gross side of Krishna, the gross aspect of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while discussing this, it is specifically mentioned there that by studying the gross side of, gross aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or this whole universes, from there one can come to the understanding of the subtle side of the gross aspect, or the subtle side of that personality. The subtle side is Krishna, the person. The gross side is all this complete manifestation, what we find, or what we even don't find in this whole creation. This may look a little bit difficult to understand, but if you look at any person, you can see that we are not only, we also have a gross aspect as well as a subtle aspect. The gross aspect is this material body, what we have. But the subtle aspect of us is the mind inside, the soul inside. And all these things forms our subtle body. So this subtle body exists, we know that it exists, because from our day-to-day experiences we can understand that there is a subtle aspect of this gross body that exists. So in a normal material body, if this can exist, a gross aspect as well as a subtle aspect, why cannot that exist in Krishna's body also? So this is the question. And from here, a number of questions comes up, because the scientists, the modern scientific community, is very much involved in this study of this gross manifestation of Krishna. That is what basically they are trying to do. They are trying to understand this gross manifestation of Krishna. But to understand Krishna is not so easy. It is not possible even after becoming a devotee. Krishna says only to become a devotee, only when you can understand Krishna. That is the first conclusion. But even after becoming a devotee, one does not understand Krishna completely. This is our situation. And it is in this background that the modern science has started this research work and experiments to find out what is behind this. They also want to know what is behind this creation. And this is why all these massive projects, they are involved. And the massive amount of money they have invested into it, and the manpower, to find out what is behind this manifestation. So, unfortunately, when they have engaged in this activity, because they have no interest in knowing the person behind it, or rather, they are unable to find out the process by which to approach that person, they all often end up in more problems than finding any solution to it. You can see that in many, many instances, you will realize that the result of their activities or the result of their research work has caused a lot of unhappiness and a lot of misery to so many people in different forms. And this has happened because they had no understanding that behind this, there is a person behind it. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you ignore Him and if you keep Him out of your calculations, no matter how nicely you do your research work, you will not get to the ultimate answer. It is not possible, because that is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is like that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Devi Shesha Gunamai Mamamaya Duratyaya Mamevayam Prabhadyande Mayamedam Tarandide. Krishna says here that in my creation, I have created in such a way that this Maya, material energy, which has come from me, is comprising consists of three modes of material nature. And normal situations, it is not possible to cross through that. It is impossible to come out of this influence of Maya. But also, Krishna says there, Maya medam tarandide mame vayam prabadyane. One who has taken my shelter, I will give him some protection in such a way that he will be able to cross through Maya easily. And because Maya is so powerful, and because that is the way Krishna has created that, it is sometimes very difficult for people to understand that Maya exists in this world. They don't even know that Maya is... Maya's definition in the Shastra, if you look, it is so much in detail. Akhatita gadina padiyasi Maya. What we think is cannot be done is done by Maya. That is Maya's greatness. Maya's strength is like that. Akhatita gadana padiyasi Maya. What we normally think or is impossible to do it. We have our own understanding of so many things in this world. We scientists study this, basically the material laws of nature, they study. And from that they conclude that everything has to work according to the laws of nature. But Maya doesn't have to follow the laws of nature. She has a different rules in all these games. So her situation is like that. And because of this, when Krishna explains in the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that out of the four people who do not want to accept me, who do not accept me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that for namam duskrutino moodha prabadyante maradhama mayaya abhavajnanam asuram bhavamashridaha, that out of the four kinds of people, duskrutina, moodha, maradhama and mayaya abhavajnanam, out of these three things, namam duskrutino moodha prabadyante maradhama mayaya abhavajnanam asuram bhavamashridaha, these four kinds of people, Krishna says, they will become asuras or demoniac in their nature. And that you cannot stop it, because in their mind they have already come to the conclusion that they are good enough to make a judgment on Krishna, or they are good enough to understand what this creation is behind it. So they are going on with this research for so many years, they have been going on. And day after day they are publishing their results also. If you are following the press, you would have seen only last Monday, there was a plan by the European Space Agency to send a satellite vehicle to one of the comets. And this was broadcast heavily because over €1 billion they have spent on this project. And the project was intended, according to them, it had three purposes. One, to estimate the life of this planet. That is what they had to do. Secondly, the origin of the life. And thirdly, the most important thing what they consider was, in their calculations, a comet was going to come and strike this earthly planet at some time in the future. So how to deviate that comet by striking this earth planet and protect this earth planet. These were the three objectives of this particular experiment. Now, let us look at all three of them. One thing they have calculated, that the apparently due to their calculation that this earth will survive another 7.5 billion years. This is their calculation. This was discussed in all the newspapers. It's also in the television as well. It was on the last Monday. So they have come to the conclusion that 7.5 billion years this earthly planet will exist. I don't know how they have got this calculation like this. But they have done it because they are scientists, they can do it. And people are there to follow that also, to accept it also. And secondly, they are saying that the origin of the life they are going to find out after this vehicle has gone and launched on struck the particular comet, which was passing through a particular track, and they were hoping to get this instrument onto that comet. But unfortunately, Krishna's plan was a little different. That the comet gone through, that was okay, but the vehicle didn't get there. It stuck here, got stuck here. So this €1 billion, what was pumped into this, is just lying there. And the whole taxpayers who worked and paid this money for this project, they are just sitting and looking at it. And that's all they could do about it, because this is the unfortunate situation. People have become so much influenced by this modern science, they think that the science is the answer to all their problems. Unfortunately, these are the people who Krishna classifies as mayaya apakritajnanam asuram bhavamashridaha, that their intelligence has been taken away by Krishna because they do not accept that any authority behind this creation. They do not think that how come there are so many planets, why this one vehicle, talk about satellite vehicle, millions and millions of planets are floating around in this universe. And they are not causing any problem. They are maintaining that particular track. In the Brahma Samhita, referring to that, ya chakshureva savita sagala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rasesha tejaha, యజ్ఞయ భ్రమణ సంభృత కాలచక్ర గోవిందం ఆదిపురుషం తమాహం భజామి. That under whose instruction all these millions and millions of planets are floating in the air. Yes, the Ajnaya Brahmana Sambhruta Kala Chakram. That Kala Chakram, the wheel of time, is coming from Krishna. It is Krishna's control. As he is moving his hand, that disc in his hand is nothing but the Kala Chakram. When Krishna stops that, the time also stops. That is how it is. Yes, Ajnaya Brahmana Sambhruta Kala Chakram Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That this is the prayer of not us, not ordinary people. It's a prayer of the creator, Brahma himself. Brahma is praying to Krishna like this. And here, our so-called Mayaya Bahirdajnanam, one who has lost their complete intelligence, they are thinking that this is their so-called knowledge. And surprisingly enough, when they had thought about this plan, they also had this plan also, that they have calculated 7.5 billion years as the time this planet is going to survive. And the third and most interesting point, they were answering this question. These scientists were answering this question by the interviewer. Then when he put forward this question, their answer was that we expect that some point in time we'll be able to redirect this comet hitting the earth so that we can protect this earth. Now, any common sense, person with common sense will think, only a few weeks ago or few months ago, we had terrible floods in this country. They couldn't even stop these floods and they want to protect the earth from this planet. This is how intelligent these great souls are. And one is, it is disgusting to note sometime that they are able to continue fooling people like this by their so-called propaganda of this science. And in the name of science, they have ridiculed everything. Only good thing they have done, the only thing what they have done to the human society is, they have completely destroyed the faith of the people in the scriptures. And rather, they create an atheistic society whereby they are able to propagate this modern science in the name of the truth or the truth. So they take the authority of the truth and they preach in this way and cause this so much damage in the human society. So they have clearly mentions there that the time factor. Yasyajnaya Brahmana Sambhruta Kala Chakram Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That this time is under Krishna's control. Durvaram Dvadasharam Trishada Parimilal Shashti Parva Abhividam Sambhramil Krura Vegam Kshanamani Jagadam Chinda Sandhyavamanam Chakram Dekala Rupam Kadayadumadhumam Tulpadai Gavalambam Rishno Karunya Sindho Pavana Buravale Pahimam Sarvadaval. Devotee is praying to Krishna like this. Durvaram Dvadasharam. That in the coming chapters you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the position of the sun planet in relationship with the earth and relationship with the other planets is described there. That the sun planet and in all the other planets, who is present there? Krishna is present there in different forms as representative. Krishna's representative are present in everywhere. In the whole creation, it is Krishna's presence is always there in some form or the other. But because we don't understand that Krishna's presence is there in every living entity, in every matter, in everything, gross or subtle, everywhere Krishna is present there. And because we ignore that, we think that these planets are moving around in a random way, in a random state. But whatever the way we propose to study, Krishna is controlling us completely to such a degree. No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to escape out of Krishna's hands. And that is what Krishna is pointing out to us. And therefore, Durvaram Dvadasharam, the sun planet moving in 12 positions in the in its move. Trishala Parimalal Shashti Varva Abhividam, that 365 days, 12 months a year. Trishala Parimalal Shashti Varva Abhividam Sambhramyal Krura Vegam. And this time wheel of time is very ruthless. It doesn't care for anybody. No matter if you want to stop the time, you can't do it. Because that is how Krishna's control is on us. Durvaram Dvadasharam Trishada Parimilal Shashti Parvabhividam Sambhramyal Krura Vegam Kshanamanu Jagadam Chinda Sandhyavamanam. That in that process, anything that comes in between, it gets smashed. Nobody can stop it. Chakram De Kala Rupam. This chakram, the wheel of time, what Krishna has created, is Krishna's another manifestation. Chakram te kalarubam. Krishna's another form is the kalarubam, the form of time. Kathayadam adamam tolpadeigavalambam. The devotee says to Krishna that in this situation, all I can do is to take shelter at your own lotus feet. There is nothing else you can do. Tolpadeigavalambam Vishnu karunya sindho pavanabiravane pahimam sarvadaval. That simply surrendering to Krishna's lotus feet is the only answer to this problem. Simply thinking that by research and experiments we will find the answer is simply foolishness, because there are two things Krishna has kept very much in control. Krishna has not allowed us to act independently the way we want to do things. If we think that by our senses, of course, so many instances these things are quoted and explained also. Dharmam pramadam iparlipsam karanapadam. That means the four defects in us is already there. But in addition to that, through the senses and through the intelligence, if we think we can conquer material nature, we are completely misled. Because there are two things, time and space, which is the limiting factors in these things. The life or the creation, Krishna's whole creation, stands for billions and billions and billions of years. If we look at even not Brahma's life, you can see it's over a few billion years. That is how he maintained. And he is the highest living entity in Krishna's creation in this material world. And if Brahma's life is so long, and our life 100 years maximum in this world, think about, compare this in relationship with the long span of the long time of the plan of the existence of this planet. That means about 15 billion or 20 million years, whatever be the whole lifespan of this planet, we have got 100 years in there. This is the maximum time we have. And in this 100 years, we are thinking we are very important. That's our understanding. That is these great souls are doing actually. They're trying to think in this 100 years time we will come. They cannot understand or even accept this point. They are just like ripples in the ocean. When there is a wave coming constantly, when there are some ripples in the ocean, to what extent that ripples have that life? That's their lifespan in this world. And in this lifespan of 100 years, they want to create the history that I have found out the truth. We know what's the truth behind it. First they created the soup theory, primordial soup. And then they created the Big Bang theory, and there are so many other theories that has followed one after the other. But no theory is getting anywhere. All the theories are going in the one way or the other. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these two factors, time and space, has very significant important thing they are. Because in relationship with the whole creation, in relationship with the whole planet, the existence of this planet, or existence of the whole creation, our lifespan is very, very, very limited. It is so small that it has no significant impact. What research we do, whatever answer we find out, will not have no significant impact on the whole creation. We cannot find out the truth. We shouldn't think ourselves that we are capable of doing this and doing it. We are not capable. This is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. Because if we start rejecting Srimad Bhagavatam, and if we start accepting these things, the only reaction coming from that, we are actually offensive to Krishna by doing that. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavatam pratyaksha Krishna mevahi. That Sri Shugan, what he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, is absolute thing. And that you can't change. And if you want to have an example of this, just take Bhagavad Gita and start reading it, you will find there. After Krishna has spoken in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the first 9 chapters, Arjuna understood who is Krishna. Krishna said to Arjuna, "Do you understand who I am?" That was the Krishna's question. At least at that point, Arjuna understood Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That up to that point, "Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakhedi, I have addressed you as Krishna, Yadava, my dear friend, Sakhedi, like this I have addressed you, but now I have to accept that you are the Supreme Lord." And only when, if you read the 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see the conversation going on, flowing between Arjuna and Krishna. Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalpasam idam yatvayoktam majastena mohoyam vigadomamam. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Madanugrahaya Paramam, that only by your mercy I have been able to understand Guhyam Adhyalpasam Idam, that the science of spiritual life I could not understand otherwise. What such a confidential thing, only when you spoke to me I was able to understand these things clearly. That when I heard that, my mohamo illusion has gone. So we may have to remember that all of us are in the same situation. This illusion is very strongly binding us. Three modes of material nature, and this illusion is very much in us, and we will not be able to overcome that. Mohoyam vigado mamam madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adya alpasam idam yatvayoktam majasthena mohoyam vigado mamam bhavapeyo hi bhudanam shudo vistarasho maya tattva kamala vatraksha mahalpam abhijavyayam. Arjuna saying to Krishna that my kamala vatraksha, all lotus eyed Krishna, that your glory is, it is not possible for me to understand. This is the nature of a devotee. Look at the case of a demon. Demon is thinking that, oh, we can understand everything. We don't need Krishna. What do we need Krishna for? We can understand everything. Devotee, Krishna think, Arjuna thinks in a different way. Kamala vatraksha maha alma abhijavyayam eva medadya tattvam almanam parameshwara drishtum ichami derubam aishwaram purushottamam. Then Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in his true form. And therefore he is saying, drishtum ichami de rubam aishwaryam purushottama, addressing Krishna and totally surrendering to him. Arjuna is requesting to Krishna, please show me your universal form. Because you say to me that all these things are coming from you. That is how you have put it to me. If it is like that, I would like to see that form. This is how Arjuna requested Krishna. Manyase yirida chakyam maya adrishtumidi prabho yo yeshwara tado metvam darshaya almanam avyayam. At that point, Arjuna mentioned to Krishna that you are Yogeshwara, you are the controller of all the mystic powers. There is nothing that can escape your vision. Yogeshwara tado metvam darshaya almanam avyayam. That if I have to see, only by your mercy it is possible for me to see. This is how a devotee thinks. A devotee understands the position of Krishna. Because he has surrendered to Krishna, he can see that all the knowledge, what he needs to know about this universe or creation or anything, all this knowledge is only possible to achieve only by Krishna's mercy. Otherwise it was not possible. Shri Bhagavan Vajam, it was in response to that, Arjuna, Krishna answers to Arjuna, Pashyame Partha Rubani Shatashoda Sahasrasham Nanani Varnani Nana Kritinijam Pashyadityan Masun Rudran Ashino Marudastada Bahunya Rishtavani Pashyacharyani Bharadam Ihayastam Jagal Krishnam Pashyadyascharyacharyam Mamadehe Gudha Kesha Yachanyal Drishtamichasi Madhumam Sakshase Drishtam Ani Naiva Sajakshusha Divyam Dadami Ve Chakshu Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. Krishna explained to Arjuna that you can see so many things in my body now, but to see that you need the right eyes for seeing that. Divyam Dadami Ve Chakshu Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. I will give you, Krishna says to Arjuna, I will give you that vision, that eyes. Divyam Dadami Ve Chakshu Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. That only with those eyes you can see me. Otherwise you will never be able to see me. So in other words, if we want to understand the mystery of this creation, Krishna's creation, Krishna has to give us those eyes. Otherwise you will never be able to see this creation. Your matter, you can go on experimenting. Tax people, collect as much money as possible. Run your big projects and engage so many people on the jobs. But the end, we will stay as it is, as we started. One day one theory, another day another theory. That's how it is. So the time and space factor, what you are talking about, comes in there. That as far as the time is concerned, we are insignificant in Krishna's eyes. Our survival and our limited time in this planet is not good enough in any way compared to the whole creation and the long span of time what Krishna has created in such a way that this planet will survive. Number one, the space factor. The space factor is concerned that the creation is so big. Sometimes a scientist says there is only one universe. But from Shastra we find there is not only one universe, there are millions and millions of universes. The problem is, for a living entity, when he wants to come out of the universe, he cannot come out. That is the way it is created. That we are controlled or conditioned by the material nature in such a way. There is a limit up to which we can go, not beyond than that. And once you can break the shell of the universe and go out, you are already in the spiritual world. That is how the creation is. And we find from the Srimad Bhagavatam and many other prayers of Lord Brahma, that Brahma is very explicitly saying there, that there are so many universes and so many Brahmas praying to Krishna in the same way. So many Brahmas praying to Krishna in the same way. So from here you see, that the information we have, unfortunately we think like that, that this is one universe that exists, nothing exists outside this. We come to jump into this conclusion that this is the end of, beginning and end of all, but it is not so. That Shastra says that there are millions and millions of universes in the creation, and in all these creations different activities going on, and so many Brahmas reporting to Krishna at the same time. So in this way you can see that the space is so unlimited. And generally, if you analyze your own life, you will see that these two things have a very very strong influence on our own life. For example, our nature, our own mind is such that if something is happening in America, for example, just as an example, if something is happening in America, even if something very tragic, it may not affect us so much because we still think, oh, we are far away from that place. So, it's just an example. But the moment the whole thing shifts, say for example 9/11 happened in America, to the extent that the people in New York suffered or they were affected by that, was not the same as the people in London were affected. Had this happened in London, how would they would have affected the people here? It would have been completely different. That is because depending on that space, the difference in the distance, our attitude also changes. Say something happened closer, has a stronger effect on us than something which has happened at a distant place. This is just the human mind, and human mind can only comprehend so much in its own capacity. So instead of happening in London, say something more disastrous happened in Lechmere Heath, for example, we'll be much more concerned about it. Why? Because it's close proximity to us. So this shows that the distance is far, the longer the distance, the influence on that in particular incident on us is also accordingly reduced. But the closer the incident happens, instead of it's Lechmere Heath, if it has happened just next to your own street where you live, automatically you'll come out of the house if there was some serious disaster. You automatically come out to see what exactly has happened, and you want to get involved and find out how it is affecting you. But when you are searching it out, suppose there is a problem at your own house, immediately you leave the street and go to your house to sort that out first. Right? That is how the nature of the mind is. This is why it is called, the Shastra says this, that this time and space are two factors which has an influence on us, and a transcendently situated person is not affected by time and space. And none of us are free from this influence of time or influence of space. So these two things have very strong influence on us. And because it is like that, and that is how much potency, strength Krishna has given us. And within that, we have to accept what is possible. It's not a question of challenging Krishna. Challenging Krishna doesn't get anywhere. It's only at the end, it is only going to end up in a confusion and crisis. But to avoid that, from the Shastra and those persons who are in the mood of goodness, who have cultivated spiritual knowledge in the mood of goodness, who can see these things beyond, they have rejected this, the knowledge what has been developed by the science, modern science. It is not acceptable because it is not in line with the conclusions of the Shastra, one thing. Secondly, in the Bhagavad Gita, just like in the Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam, as it is called the universal form, the 11th chapter, there is another chapter, if you go further, I think it is the 15th chapter or 16th chapter, one of them, Daivasura Sambandhi Yogam, as it is called. That means, according to Krishna's arrangement, that in the there are two kinds of nature in this planet. People have two different different mentality. This mentality has come, and because of that, normally it is considered to be the divine and the demoniac nature. Divine and the demoniac nature. So Krishna was explaining to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita the divine nature in detail. He explained everything for a long, long time, and always told Arjuna that you do not have to worry about it because you are born with the divine qualities. And when demoniac population increases in the planet, automatically there will be a science along with that which will develop. And this demoniac nature is such that Krishna explains how does that demoniac nature works in this world. After covering in 3 or 4 verses the divine nature, abhayas sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthiti danam damascha yogascha swadhyayastava arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodam daya shandiravaishunam daya bhureshu aloluptam mardavam hri achabalam tejakshamadadrishaujam adroho atimanida devigasambadam devi adijadasya bharana. Arjuna was addressed like Krishna like this: my dear Bharata, then you have to understand that these are the qualities. In the Bhagavad Gita you can read all these things. Prabhupada has explained in detail for us to understand that these are the qualities by which persons who are in the divine consciousness work. Abhayas sattva samshuddhir, fearlessness, free from fear, and purification of one's own existence. Jnana yoga vyavasthiti, cultivating spiritual knowledge. This is the symptoms of personalities who are in the mode of goodness. Dhyanam dhamascha yogascha swadhyayastava arjavam, austerities and penances, simplicity. Like this, daya bhudeshu aloluptam mardavam hri rajabalam, and the divine qualities, merciful to other living entities. And so many things Krishna has explained there. Adroho atimanidaha, that adroham, not desiring to give pain to another living entity or giving trouble to another living entity. Atimanidaha, that never to think themselves as something important, always keeping a lower humble position, that is their nature. Abhijadasya bharada, my dear Arjuna, because you have these qualities, you don't have to worry, you will be covered. But then in the next verse onwards, Arjuna was given a lecture by Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra about the demoniac nature. And that is what you have to read. Read through all the verses. There is about 15 or 20 verses. And through these 20 verses, Krishna has put forward what happens to a person, what is his nature of a demoniac person. And first thing Krishna mentions there is, dambodarpho bhimanascha kodham parushyame vaja ajnanam chabhijadasya partha sambadamasurim, that if one is demoniac, the first mentality of that person is pride in his head. Dambo darpo bhimanascha, that false pride in him all the time to think that he is very important. A devotee will never think he is important. A devotee will always think Krishna is important. Who is my importance? What is my importance in this world? Everyone has come from Krishna. Everyone is Krishna's servant. That is the actual position. Dambo darpo bhimanascha, abhimanam, the false ego in there. Krodham parushyam evaja ajnanam cha vijadasya partha sambhadamasurim. So because the three modes of material nature changes the people according to their association with the lower modes of nature, these kind of qualities will manifest in that person. The result will be that you will automatically reject Krishna. You cannot accept that there is a supreme controller, a supreme personality behind all this material creation, material or spiritual, the whole creation. And it is by that creation upon that personality that we understand what is this creation is. You will not find anywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita that when we start discussing these chapters, coming chapters, Sri Shukadeva is talking to Parikshit Maharaj about the whole creation. That creation which we don't even see with our eyes, Sri Shukadeva is explaining there. How was Sri Shukadeva able to do that? Sri Shukadeva was able to do that because Sri Shukadeva is a devotee of Krishna. And Krishna is giving that vision to him to see exactly like Krishna did to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita and showed the universal form for him to understand what Krishna's position is. Exactly in the same way, Krishna has given that vision to Sri Sudeva Goswami so that he could explain everything to Parikshit Maharaj. That is how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the next many chapters, or Sri Shukan is discussing the whole creation. But if we forget about the our true position and start thinking that Krishna is somewhat little bit bigger than us, or he's got little bit more power than us, if we start judging on that basis, then we will not get anywhere. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to understand Krishna's position, so many great sages, after performing penances and austerities for thousands and thousands of years, they couldn't understand Krishna. That is how difficult it is. Krishna's position, because he is the Supreme Person, and he is the origin of everything. Anadiradu Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, that he is the cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, that cause of all causes is Krishna. This is the conclusion of the Shastra. So if it is like that, what did Krishna say in the demoniac nature? In the demoniac nature, Krishna says, Dambodarpo Bhimanascha Krotham Parushyameva Ajnanam Chabijadasya Partha Sambadam Asurim Devim Sambadvi Mokshaya Nibandaya Asurimadim. That the divine nature influences a person to free oneself from this material existence. That is what it helps. But on the other hand, if one has developed the nature of engaging or himself in the demoniac activities, it binds him. It's not very difficult to understand this, because normally divine nature means activities which are conducive for developing Krishna consciousness, or which are conducive for developing spiritual advancement. That is the divine nature. And that divine nature will not bind a person because of the attachment to Krishna. Because one has surrendered either the results of his activities to Krishna, or with the perfect understanding that I am performing these activities for Krishna's pleasure. If in that consciousness, when one performs activities, then that activities don't bind him. That is free for him, freedom from the entanglement. But for those who are attached to the results of their activities, and those who want to cultivate material life and ignoring Krishna, Krishna says that will become a cause of bondage. That because you are born with this divine nature, Krishna guarantees to Arjuna that he will not be bound by any of his activities because he has surrendered to Krishna. So then Krishna continued in that long chapter. Krishna talks about various things. Pravrtinja nivrtinja jana anavidirasura na shaujam na bijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. See the demonic nature, how it works. Pravrtinja nivrtinja jana anavidirasura. Asura nature is such that what is to be done, what is not to be done, they do not know. They are thinking that whatever that I do is all right. Pravrtin janavrtin cha janana vidura asura na shaujam na bijacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. That there is no truthfulness in them. The only truthfulness is if it suits them, that is truthfulness. That's what the truthfulness in their standard is. And in this long process of discussing this advancement, how many things happen which are not based on any truthfulness. In fact, even in the history of this modern science, although so much is proudly it is spoken about it, in reality, some of the evil effects that has come from that, every one of us are paying for it very dearly today. There is nobody can deny that. That pravartinja navartinja jana anavidura asura na shaujam na bijajaro na satyam teshu vidyade. Then Krishna says the quality of that person, asatyam mapravishtande, that asatyam, everything what we find, it has no basis. This is their firm conclusion is like that. Asatyam apravishtande jagadahurani ishwaram abarasparasambhodam kimanyer kamahedugam. Then asatyam apravishtande, there is no basis for anything. They say like this. All this has happened just by chance. It has happened like this. Then if it is by chance, why are you wasting so much time studying your chance? That asatyam apradishtam de jagadahur anishwaram. That all this creation has no controller. That is their conclusion. Firm conclusion in their mind is that jagadahurani ishwaram aparasparasambhudam kimanye kamahedugam. That all this has happened because we men and women have interacted with each other. The result of this whole creation has happened. This is how much their brain has led them to. To that point they have come to the conclusion. Asatyam pradishtam de jagadahurani ishwaram aparasparasambhudam kimanye kamahedugam. Then Krishna says, evam drishtva mamastabhyam nashtalman alparuddhaya prabhavandi ugradharmanam kshayayam jagadohidaham. That the next step what they will do is, evam drishtva mamastabhyam. After, once they have come to this conclusion in their head, they will spend all their energy in researching and researching and researching. They will not accept Krishna's words. They will accept everything else, but not Krishna's words. Why? Evam drishtva mamastabhyam nashtalma alpabuddhayah. That nashtalma, they have already lost their soul. They don't know which direction they are going. Alpabuddhaya prabhavandi ugradharmanam kshayayam jagadohidaham. What they will do is, they will only engage in ugrakarma. That is their enjoyment, happiness in this world. Engaging in ugrakarma. Today this satellite, today tomorrow another satellite. 1 billion for this, 2 billion for that, 5 billion for next 10 years. Going to Moon, going to Venus, going to Uranus, Pluto, Neptune, this, that. And then next to other universe. And this man is making his living out of it. And he is passing his time like this. And the society is also happy to support this, all these great gigantic projects. This is what is coming out of that. So, prabhavandi ugrakarmanam kshayayam jagadohidaha. That in this way, Krishna explains in that, in so many verses, in that particular chapter, the nature of a person who has not accepted the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if one thinks that even in this modern scientific world, if one has to cultivate Krishna consciousness, where a devotee cannot ignore these things because it hurts him. It hurts the devotee. When somebody talks about Krishna in this way, that there is no controller, everything we can do it, and leave the whole society into hell, a devotee, it is difficult for him to keep quiet. Therefore, our prayer to Krishna is always that even in the next life, if you have to give me a dog's body or a cat's body, please do that, but don't give me a scientist's body. That you can give me anything else. Why? Devotee will say to Krishna, Ajnatvate mahatvam yadihaniyadidam vishwanatha kshamedaha. That, my dear Krishna, that I have spoken about you not knowing your glories so much. But you have to forgive me for that because I have no knowledge about you. This is a devotee's position. Ajnatvate mahatvam. I do not know your glories. It is difficult for an ordinary person to understand who is Krishna. Great, great acharyas with greatest intelligence, they have tried. They have ultimately agreed on this one point. Although there are different philosophies, they all agreed on one point that Krishna's glories are difficult to understand. Ajnatvate mahatvam yadihaniganidham vishwanatha kshamedaha. That I will ask for forgiveness from you if I have spoken anything which is not fitting to your glory. Because what's our position in comparison with Krishna? In this living entity who is 70, 80 years old, with birth, death, old age and disease, struggling in this material body, he is trying to judge the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our mentality. This is the how degraded we are in our own mentality. That, and they are not exceptions. Scientists are not exceptions. Ajnatvate mahatvam yadihaniganidam vishwanatha kshamedaham. So atram jayal sahastrotram adhigadaram tal prasadaya bhuyal. Whatever I have spoken about you, it should please you. This is how a devotee will approach Krishna. Whereas these personalities who wants to question Krishna's knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And if one does not see Srimad Bhagavatam in that way and start thinking that in my lifetime I will pursue the scientific process to understand Krishna, you will never understand Krishna. Mal karma gaya mal paramo mal bhakta sanga varjidaha nirvaya sarva bhudeshu yasamame di pandavaha. Then in the universal form, Shuruba Darshana Yoham in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna discussed, he says to Arjuna, Mal karma gra mal paramo, do the duty what I have given to you. Mal karma gra mal paramo, mal bhakta sangha varjidaham. That become my devotee and give up the association of those people who are envious of me. This is Krishna's instruction. Niruheya sarva bhudeshu. Don't be inimical to any other living entity. Samamedi Pandava. Such a person can understand me eventually to some degree. This is how Krishna has explained that. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, you will find Krishna repeatedly mentioning this at different places. So this is why it is necessary to study Bhagavad Gita nicely before we go into Srimad Bhagavatam. Because from Bhagavad Gita we understand what is Krishna's position in comparison to us. Our position, we are tiny living entities in this world who have got a very, very short span of time in this world. And we are subjected to, out of this, Prahlad Maharaj just calculated very nicely. Even if you live 100 years, first 20 years of your lifetime is lost in childhood, in playing and so many other nonsensical activities. Then another 20 years you are busy in finding the partner and setting up your home. And in the last 20 years, probably you have lost because you are too old. The mind and senses and the bodies are not in a position to do anything. What is left behind is probably 10 or 15 years, a good time in life. And if that time is also lost, the whole life is lost. That is how, that is why Prahlad Maharaj was instructing there, Makaumara Achanel Prajnaha. Dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manusham janmam tadapyam dhruvamartadam. That kaumara ajane prajnaha. One should begin from the early days in life, not to keep it for the old age like Ajamila. That I'll do it at the age of 88 when Ajamila did. It will not happen. Durlabham manusham janmam. Human life is very, very rare thing. It's not possible to do so many things in this one short lifetime. But instead of trying to find, what to talk about finding the origin of the universe, or what to talk about the origin of life, which will never happen. By these processes, Shastra says that you will waste your time in this world and a valuable human form of life. So this is basically and essentially a review of the modern science, its approach towards the Shastra, and how the Shastric knowledge, especially the Vedic literature, which has existed always and which is Krishna's breathing, as it is mentioned in the Krishna's breathing is the Vedic literature. And all this Vedic literature, the information that is in this is authoritative. And that has come from the sages. Even we consider many, many things as wonderful these days. People are saying that we could calculate the solar eclipse and lunar eclipse and so many things. Do that. If you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you find there, 5,000 years ago, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, for a solar eclipse which was calculated by the astrologers then, it was organized that everybody should assemble in Samanda Panchakam, which is a place in near Kurukshetra, where Krishna invited everyone to come there to participate in the solar eclipse. So without all these instruments what they have developed today, they were still able to calculate that solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, all these things. How could they do that? So it seems that in the impression we have that everything is only possible, it has happened today, nothing was available before, it seems to be a wrong understanding. That in the Bhagavatam, not only in the Bhagavatam, in so many other places, so many things that's discussed are indicating to the point that the sages who had the perfect understanding of this, of the universe, and perfect understanding of the how things were developing in the material world, the movement of the sun, the movement of the other planets, they have their own explanation to all these things. It's not that all these things are, now we have found out, Mercury, Buddha, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, all these planets were known to us before, and the influence of these planets on the life in this world is also given in the astrological magazines, astrological words, and it is not something that they have found out today. These things were existing before, but unfortunately in the modern science we tend to think that the science, unless it is proved to our mind, it is not acceptable. That means that is the way we have taken to it. So therefore we have difficulty sometimes in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where the difficulty coming from, because we have learned this process in this wrong way, and therefore everything else we have learned to reject also. So I'll just read that. chapters. Chapter 15 of the fifth canto. Shri Shuka Uvacham Bharatasya Atmaja Sumadirnama Abhihido Yamuhavava Kejil Pakhandinam Krishava Padavim Anivartamanam Chanadya Aveda Samamnadam Devadam Sumanishaya Pabiyasya Kalau Kalpaishandi Tasmal Vriddhasenayam Devada Jinnama Putro Bhaval Atha Asuryam Dattaneyo Deva Dinnastadu Dhenumatyam Sudapanameshti Tasya Suvarchalayam Pradiha Upajadaha Yamalpa Vidyama Khyaya Swayam Samshuddho Mahapurushamanu Samsmara Pradihal Suvarchalayam Pradihartradayastrayam Asannijya Kovida Suvanava Pradiharto Stutyam Ajabhuma Avajanishadam Bhumna Krishikulyayam Ulghidastada Prastavo Devagulyayam Prastava Nilsayam Kridayamajam Asid Bhurbhoratyamja Purushenastastva Sasman Maktamagutyam Vityenaktal Buddha Putro Gayo Rajarshi Pravaramudara Shravam Ajayada Sakshal Bhagavado Vishnu Jagadri Rakshishayam Grihida Satvasya Kalalpa Vatva Vilakshanena Mahapurusharam Praptaha Savai Sudharmena Prajabalana Poshana Priyamana Upalalana Anushasana Lakshane Jyadina Ajabhagavadi Mahapurushe Paravare Brahmani Sarvalpana Arpita Paramartha Lakshanena Brahma Vicharana Ucharananu Sevaya Upadida Bhagavan Bhakti Yogena Jabishnasha Paribhavida Ishidam Avirubira Ubara Ubera Dana Alpyam Atmana Swayam Upalabhyamana Brahma Alpma Anubhavobi Nirabhimanam Eva Anima Jugabal Tasi Emam Khadam Pandaveyam Puravida Upadayandim Gayam Nurbagam Padiyadi Karmami Yajya Abhimani Bhavid Dharma Gopta Samagana Shri Sadasas Parisadam Sal Seva Gonyo Bhagaval Kalam Radeyam Emabhyashinchan Parayam Udasadim Satya Ashisho Dakshakanya Saridhi Yasya Prajanam Duduhi Dharashisho Nirashisho Guna Valsasmado Thaha Chandam Sagamasade Yasya Gama Duduhu Rajakurdo Balim Hrava Pratyanjido Yudhi Dharmena Viprayada Shisham Shashtamasham Shashtamamsham Paretyam Yasya Adhvare Bhagavan Adhvaralpam Akhoni Madhyatur Somavide Shraddha Vishuddha Jalabhakti Yogam Samapede Jabhalamajaharam Elprinadal Barkhishi, Deva Devin Manisha Virutanama Virinjal, Priya Sadhya Sahavishwajiva, Prida Swayam Pridimaja Gayasya, Gaya Gayendiam Chitradam Sukadira Varodhana, Iditraya Putra Bhavu, Chitradhadur Nayam Samrar Jinsho, Ulkalayam Marijir Marijir Bindu Matyam, Bindu Manu Vajjada Sarsma Sarakhayam, Madurnama Bhavan Mato Sumanasi Vira Pradastado Bhajayam, Mantu Pramantu Jnani Mantu Satyayam, Bhavanastado Dushanayam Toshta Janishta, Toshti Virajanayam Virajam Virajasya Sharajil Pravaram, Utasharam Kanyajam Shujyam Kilajanam Tatayam Shogaha, Praya Brahmam Shamimam Vireshcharam Odhava Agarolitalam Kirtya Vishnu Surajanam Yatha Shri Srimad Bhagavate Mahabrani Panjamaskande Priya Brahmam Shanavirtanam Nama Panjadashodhyaya Shri Rajo Vajam Uktastvaya Bhumandalayama Vishesho Yavadadityastamadiyatrajaso Jodisham Ganesh Chandrama Sahadrishyade Tatra Vipriyavradarajarana Parikhade Saptabhi Saptasindhava Uvaklupta Amyadam Yadasya Saptadhiva Vishesha Vigalpastvaya Bhagavan Khalisujitam Yadadeva Akhinamaham Manado Lakshanadascha Sarvam Vijitnya Sami Bhagavato Gunamaye Sthura Rupam Aveshitam Anohya Gunebhi Sushmatam Alpa Jyotishivare Brahmani Bhagavati Vasudeva Kshamam Aveshitam Tadu Aidal Guru Orkasyan Varnaidamidi Kshiruvajam Navai Maharaja Bhagavato Maya Gunavibhude Kashtam Manasavajasavadi Gandumalam Vibhuzayushabi Purushastasmal Pradhanyeneva Bhugolaka Vishesham Namarupam Analakshanado Vyakhyasyamaha Yovayam Divakuvilayam Kamala Kosha Abhyandara Kosho Nida Yojana Vishalaha Samavartuloyaha Pushkara Patram Yasmin Navavarshani Navayojana Sahasrayamanya Shtavir Madhyada Girivi Subhaktani Bhavandi Yasham Madhyayilavurdam Nama Abhyandara Varsham Yasya Nabhyam Avastita Sarvaya Savarna Kulagiri Kulagiri Rajo Meru Divaya Masamunyaha Karniga Bhudaha Kuvilaya Kamalasya Murdhani Vyatram Shamsa Trisham Sahasra Yojana Vidado Mule Shodasha Sahasram Tavada Andar Bhumiyam Pravishtaha Uttarotrena Alavradam Ilavradam Nila Shweda Shunjavani Trayo Remmege Hiranme Kuruna Marshana Mariyada Gireya Pradayida Mupayda Charo Davatayo Dvisahasra Pratava Mega Ega Kusha Purvasmad Purvasmad Uttaram Uttaro Dasham Sham Adhiyam Shena Dhargyam Eva Krasandi एवं दक्षिणे नीलावृतम शतो हेमकूटो हिमालयम् इति प्रजायतम् यथा नीलादय ऐतयोजनोत्सेध हरिवर्ष किम्बुरुष भारदानां यथा संख्यम् तथैव वेलामृतमवरेण पूर्वेण जमाल्यवल् गन्धमाधनाव नील निषधायुधो द्विसहस्रम् पप्रथतु केतुमालभद्राश्वयो सीमाम् विदधाते मन्दरो मेरुमन्दर सुपार्श्वकुमल इत्यैतयोजन विस्तारोन्नाहो मेरोश्चतुर्दशम् अवष्टम् भङ्गिरे उपक्लुप्ताः चतुष्वेषु युध जम्बुक जम्बु कदम्बन्यघ्नोदाश्चत्वार पादप्रवरा पर्वतकेदम् इवादि सहस्रयोजनोन्नाहस्तावल् विडव विदधय शतयोजन परिणामाः परिणाः हृदाश्चत्वारः पयोमदिक्षुरसमृष्टजलाम् यदुपस्पृशिन उपदेवगणा योगेश्वर्याणि स्वाभाविकानि भरदर्षवधारयन्ति देवोद्यानि च भवन्ति चत्वारि नन्दनम् चैत्ररथम् वैभ्राजयम् सर्वतो भद्रमिति एष्वमयपरिगृढा सहसुरललनालललामयूथमदय उपदेवगणै उपगीयमानमहिमानम् किल विहरन्ति मन्दरोत्सङ्गमेकादश एकादशशतयोजनोत् तुङ्गदेवचूदशिरसो गिरिशिखरस्थूलानि फलानि अमृतकल्पानि पतन्ति तेषाम् विशीयमाणानाम् अतिमधुरसुरभि सुगन्धि बहुलारुणरसो उदेन अरुणोदा नाम नदी मन्दरगिरिशिखरान्नि पतन्ति पूर्वेण इलावयमु प्लावयति यद्वजोषणान् भवान्याम् अनुचरिणीनाम् अनुचरीणाम् पुण्यजनमधु नाम वयवस्पर्शसुगन्धवादो दशयोजनम् समन्दात् अनुवासयति एवम् जम्बूफलानाम् अत्युच्चनिपातविशीर्णानाम् अनस्तिप्रायाणाम् विभगायनिभानाम् रसेन जम्बो नाम नदी मेरुमन्दरशिखारदा शिखरादायुधयोजना अवनिगले निपतन्ति दक्षिणेनात्मानम् यावत् इलावृतमुपस्यन्दयति तावदुभयोरविरोधसंज्ञामृत्तिकाम् तद्रसेन अनुविध्यमानाम् वायुर्कसंयोगविभागेन सदा अमरलोकाभरणम् जाम्बूनदम् नाम सुवर्णम् भवति यदूहवावदुदादय सहयुधविर्मुकुटकटककडिसूत्राद्याभरणरूपेण खलु धारयन्ति यस्तु महाकदम् महसुपार्श्वनिरूढो यास्तस्य कोटरेभ्यो विनिसृताः पञ्चायामपरिणाः मधुधाराः सुपार्श्वशिखराल् पतन्त्यो परिणी आत्मानम् इलावृदादम् अनुमोदयन्ति या उभयुञ्जान्नानाम् मुखनिर्वासितो वायु समन्दाच्छदयोजनम् अनुवासयति एवम् कुमदनिरूढो य शतवल्षो नाम वडस्तस्य स्कन्देभ्यो निजीन पयोदधिमधिकृत गुटान्नाद्यम्ब अम्बरशय्यासनाभरणदय सर्व एव कामदुःखानदाः कुमुदाग्गाल्पन्दस्तम् उत्तरेण इलावृतमुपयोजयन्ति यानुपजोषणानाम् न कदाचिदपि प्रजानाम् वदी बलिदक्रमस्वेद् दौर्गन्ध्यजरामय मृत्युशीतोष्णवैवर्ण्योपसर्गादयस्तापविशेषो भवन्ति यावज्जीवम् सुखम् निर्दिशयमेव कुरङ्गकुररकुसुमभवैकङ्गत्रिकूटशिशिरवदम् गरुजगनिषिदशनिवास कपिलशङ्खवैठूर्यजायुधिहम् संशोनागकाल कालञ्जननारदादयो विंशतिगिरयो मेरो कर्णिकायामिव केसरलूदो मूलदेशे परित उपक्लुप्ताः जटरदेवकूटौ मेरुम् पूर्वेण अष्टादशयोजनसहस्रमुदगायदो द्विसहस्रम् पृथुतुङ्गौ भवनः एवमपरेण पवनपारियात्रौ दक्षिणेन कैलासकरवीरौ प्रागायदा देवमुत्तरस्त्रिशृङ्गमकरावष्टभिरेदे परिस्पृतोऽग्निरिव परिदश्चास्ति काञ्चनगिरिः मेरो मूर्धनि भगवन्तम् अल्पयोनिर्मध्यमुपक्लुप्ताम् पुरीम् ऐदयोजनम् सहस्रीम् समचतुरश्राम् शादकौम्भीम् वदन्ति तामणिपरितो लोकपालनामष्टानाम् यथा दिशम् यथा रूपम् तुरीयमायेन पुरोष्टा उपक्लुप्ताः श्रीमद्भागवते महाप्राणे पञ्चमस्कन्दे भुवनघोषवर्णनम् नाम षोडशोऽध्याय श्रीशुक उवाच तत्र भगवतः साक्षात् यज्ञलिङ्गस्य विष्णो विक्रमदो वामपादाङ्गुष्ठनखविर्णोऽर्ध्वाण्डकटाहविवरणे विवरेणान्दप्रविष्टायाः बाह्यजलधरा तच्छरणभङ्गजावनि जनारुणकिञ्जल्को भरञ्जिता किल जगदः अमलावहोव स्पर्शनामलसाक्षात् भगवत्पदीत्यनुपलक्षितवजोऽभि धीयमानादिमहदा कालेन युगसहस्रोपलक्षणेन दिवो मूर्धन्यवोदारयत्तदिष्णुपदमाहो यत्र हवावीरव्रतमौतानवादि परमभागवतौ स्मात् कुलदेवता चरणविन्दोदगमिति याम् अनुसमनम् उत्कृष्यमाण भगवद्भक्तियोगेन दृढम् क्लिद्यमानम् बृहृदयमौत्कण्ठविवशाम् मीलितलोचन युगलकुड्मलविगलितामलबाष्पकलयाभिविज्यमान रोमपुलकलगोऽधुनावि परमादरेण शिरसा अभिवर्ति ततः सप्तमृषयस्थल्प्रभावज्ञायाम् मनुतमसम् आत्यन्तिकी सिद्धिरेतावती भगवती सर्वात्मनि वासुदेवेन परत भक्तियोगलाभेनैवोपेक्षितान्यर्थाम् आत्मकलयो मुक्तिमिव कदा मुमुक्षमिव स बहुमानमद्याविजडाजुडै उद्वहन्ति ततोऽनेकसहस्रकोटिमानेकसङ्कुलदेवयानेन अवतरदीन्दुमण्डलम् आवार्य ब्रह्मसदने निपतति తత్ర చతుర్ధా విద్యమానం చతుర్భిన్నామభిశ్చ చతుర్దిశమభిస్పందంది నదననీపదీమేవాభినిషది సీతా అళగనందా చక్షుర్భద్రేది సీతాదు బ్రహ్మ సదనాల్ కేసర అజలాదిగిరి శిఖరేభ్యోద్ధోద ప్రస్రవంది గంధమాధమోర్ధసు పదిత్వాంబరేన భద్రాశ్వవర్షం ప్రాచ్యాం విశిక్షార సముద్రం అభిప్రవిశది ఏవం మాలివకచ్చిన్న శిఖరా నిష్పదంది తదోనుపరద వేగ కీతుమానమతి చక్షు ప్రతీక్ష్యాం నిశి సరిల్పదిం ప్రవిశది భద్రాచోత్తరదో మేరిశిరసో నిపదిర గిరిశిఖరా గిరిశిఖరమది ఉత్తరాంశుగురూనభిమీక్షాంశిజలదిమభిప్రవిశది అన్యేజనదానుదేశ వర్షే వర్షే సందిభుషో మేవాదిగిరి దుహితర శరశః తత్రాపి భారతమేవ వర్షం కర్మక్షేత్రమన్యాన్యష్ట వర్షాణి స్వర్గిణాం పుణ్యశేషో ఉపభోగస్థానాని భౌమాని స్వర్గపదాని ఉపదిశంది ఏషు పురుషాణాం ఆయుధ పురుషాయుర్వర్షాణాం దేవకల్పానాం నాగాయుధ ప్రాణానాం వజ్రసంహన బల వయోమోద ప్రముదిత మహాసౌరమిథున వ్యావాయ అపవర్గ వర్షధృదై వర్షధృదై గర్భగళత్రాణాం తత్రదు త్రేతాయుగ సమకాలం వర్తతే వర్షగిరిద్రోణీషు అమలజలాశయేషు విగుజ వివిధ ధనవనరోహం వనయుహామోదముధిరాజహంస జల కుక్కుడ కారండవ సారస చక్రవాగాది మధుకర నిగరాగి ఉపగుచిరేషు జల క్రీడాదిభిర్ విచిత్ర వినోదై సులలిత సురసుందరీణాం కామకలిల విలాసహాసలీలావలోకాకృష్టమనోదృష్టయ స్వైరం విహరంది నవస్వపి వర్షేషు భగవాన్ నారాయణో మహాపురుషమురుషాణాం తదనుగ్రహాయ ఆత్మదత్త వ్యూహేన ఆత్మదాన ఆత్మనాద్యాభి సన్నిధీయతే ఇరావృదేది భగవాన్ భవైమేకమేవ పుమాన్ మహ్యన్యస్తత్రావరో నిర్విశది భవాన్యాం శాప నిమిత్తజ్ఞో యత్ ప్రవేక్షత స్త్రీ స్త్రీభావస్తల్పశ్చాద్వక్ష్యామి భవాని నాథ స్త్రీగణార్బుద సహస్రై అవిరుధ్యమానం భగవతశ్చతుర్మూర్తే మహాపురుషస్తురీయం తామసీమూర్తిం ప్రకృతిమాల్పన సంకర్షణ సంజ్ఞాం ఆత్మసమాధిరూపేణ సన్నిధాప్యైదవిగ్రణన్ భవ ఉపదావతి శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాజాం ఓం నమో భగవతే మహాపురుషాయ సర్వగుణ సంఖ్యా సర్వగుణ సంఖ్యానాయ ఆనందాయ అవ్యక్తాయ నమైది భజే భజజ్ఞానన పాదమంగజం భగస్య కృష్ణస్య పరంపరాయణం భక్తేశ్వరం భావిత భూత భావనం భవావహం త్వాం భవభావమీశ్వరం మయస్య మాయా గుణచిత్త వృత్తివి నిరీక్షతో హ్యన్న విదృష్టిరంజతే ఈశయ్యథోనోచితమన్యరంహసాం కస్తం నమన్యే జిగీషురాత్మనాం అసదృశోయ ప్రతిభాది మాయయా క్షీవేవ మధ్వాసోదాంబలోచన నాగవద్ధోర్హణమీశిరేహయ యల్పాదయో స్పర్శన దర్శితేంద్రియాం యమాహురస్య స్త్రిజన్మ సంయమం త్రిభుర్విహీనం యమనందమనిషయ నవేద సిద్ధార్థమివ క్వజిల్స్థితం భూమండలం మూర్ధసహస్రధామసో యస్యాద్యమాసీల్ గుణ విగ్రహో మహాన్ విజ్ఞాననిష్టో భగవాన్ అజకిల యత్సంభవోహం త్రివృదాసు తేజస వైకారికం తామసమైంద్రియం సృజే ఏదే వయం యస్య వశే మహాల్పనా స్థితాశ గుందామివ సూత్రయం దిదాహ మహానహం వైగ్రహతామసేంద్రియా సృజామ సర్వైజనిగ్రహాదిదం యన్నిర్మిదాం గృహి కర్మకర్మణి మాయాజనోయం గుణసర్గమోహిత నవేద నిస్తారణ యోగమంజస తస్మై నమస్తే విలయోదయాల్మని ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పంచమస్కందే సప్తదశోధ్యాయం. సో దట్ ఈస్ ద బ్రీఫ్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆన్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ here Srila Prabhupada has given this fully translated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto, and in the fifth canto you'll find that for all these chapters related to this, for example the glories of the descendants of Priyavarta, there is a brief summary of that chapter. And similarly for the next chapters also, description of the Jambudvipa, and similarly the descendant of the river Ganges, the 17th chapter. So in these chapters Prabhupada is trying to explain as much as possible about the structure of the universe and a description of this Jambudvipam. Jambudvipam is important because we live in Jambudvipam. That is why it is important. And because for that matter, the Jambudvipam is in the right in the middle of this in this earth. What we see as earthly planet is only this Jambudvipam. We saw earlier when Priyavrata was driving the chariot around the in the opposite direction of the sun planet. The result of that was he formed seven seas and seven islands surrounding the Jambudvipam. So from then on, you can see that Priyavrata appointed his children in charge of the different dvipas, the different islands. And this Jambudvipam came to Agneya, his eldest son. Agneya got this Jambudvipam. And Agneya divided Jambudvipam again to Agneya and divided to different children. And Nabhi got Bharatavarsham. So what in this particular chapter, which was not discussed before, what is discussed here is that what is happening in Jambudvipam, how Jambudvipam is divided into nine different sections. And in these nine different sections, Sri Shukan is not saying anything about what is there to see, sightseeing. He is not talking about it. What Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam is, what he is seeing in his eyes, that this division of the Jambudvipam into nine areas, and where, who is being worshipped, and who is the worshipper, and what is the process. That is how it is mentioned there. Hiranyam, Hiranmayam, Hiranmayam, and Kuru, Uttara, the three. Jambudvipam, right in the middle of that is the Ilavrata Varsham. Ilavrata Varsham is where Lord Shiva worships the Lord Balaram. Lord Shiva worships that aspect of Krishna, which is Lord Balaram. Lord Shiva worships him in Ilavrata Varsham, which is right in the middle of Jambudvipam. And north of Jambudvipam, north of this Ilavrata Varsham, there are three sections, Ramayam, Hiranmayam, and Uttarakuru. There are three sections mentioned there, where three different aspects of Krishna is worshipped. Everything is explained in the Bhagavatam. If you can read through that, you will see there who is worshipped, who is the worshipper, and what is the mantra they chant during the process of worship. So similarly, three in the north, three in the south. Three in the south is Harivarsham, Kimpurisham, and Bharatavarsham. So three on the three sides, and on the right hand side of the Jambudvipam is the Bhadrashavarsham, and on the left hand side is Kedumalam. So like this, these nine divisions in the Jambudvipam is explained there, and which incarnation of Krishna is worshipped in these nine different locations, by whom, and what is the process of worship. This is all explained in the next few chapters. So I'll stop there, and if there's any questions or comments, please.
I think today you spent a lot of time speaking about, so it's quite a change, you know, the demonic and divine qualities.
Yes.
And how that was actually related to the structure of the universe, mm-hmm. and how the mentality of the sages are.
Yes.
Could you just explain could you just explain why all of the demonic qualities, they say that there's many ways to God, or whoever they decide it is. And even in India, it says that there's many ways, but that isn't really true, is it?
When they say many ways, this is of course a very general statement when they say many ways. But in the Bhagavad Gita, particularly in the Bhagavad Gita, there are three processes Krishna has mentioned: karmam, jnanam, and bhakti. These three are there in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole Vedic literature is based on these three things: karmam, jnanam, and bhakti. All the Vedas refers to karma yoga actually, because Vedas mostly refer to sacrifices, and sacrifices are meant for pleasing Krishna or pleasing Vishnu, and through that the process of liberation, if it is executed properly. The Yanamargam, which is the impersonalist follow, which they try to follow, comes from the Upanishads. Upanishads are the essence of the all the impersonal process is mentioned in the Upanishads. Lot of Upanishads, Upanishads generally I'm saying. Not that all Upanishads are referring to that. For example, Isha Upanishads talks about the Supreme Person. But Puranas like Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other Itihasas, like Ramayanam and Mahabharata, everything refers to Bhakti Yoga process, the process of Bhakti. So whole Vedic system is fall into these three categories, Karmam, Jnanam and Bhakti. Now, generally, people, as we talked about this before also, that you can't classify the whole human population into one lot. They are not the same. They are different. Everybody is different in their mental makeup and frame of mind. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, who is qualified for which yoga process? He explains there then. Edirchaya malkathasu jada shraddho api vapuman manarvino nadi satto bhakti yogostu siddhidaham. That a person will become a devotee. What type of person will become a devotee? Krishna says there. Edirchaya malkathasu. By somehow or the other, he came to hear about Krishna. Somehow or the other, it happened in his life. Either from a devotee or from some source, he happened to read a book or something. And then he started thinking about Krishna. Who is this person, Krishna? I would like to get to know him more about it. Jada shraddho bhima puman, that he becomes serious about knowing about Krishna. In that case, but on the other hand, he has got a problem. Problem is this, that he is very much entangled in this world. He's not able to escape from here, because on the one hand he has got his family, he has got his children, he has got his job, he has got to earn his living and all that thing. But all the time he's also realizing that all this is not the ultimate goal of life, that maintaining this job and maintaining the family, all these things. But somehow or the other he's caught up in that situation. So if such a thing happens, Krishna says, a person who is not able to give up everything in this world, at the same time, he is not too attached to it either. In his mind, there is always a crisis. Sometimes he is thinking, oh, what should I do in this life? I mean, I'm working hard, but none of them is giving me any pleasure. That kind of situation happens into a man's life, or woman's life, whatever it is. So, Krishna says, jada shraddho biya praman na narvino nadi satto, that he is not able to give up everything because he hasn't got that realization in him that he wants to give up this association with the material world and search for the absolute truth. It is those people, jnanis, who generally are in that consciousness. Jnanis by nature are those people. They have come to the strong conclusion in their mind that this material world is totally temporary or false, or as they saw it, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. This is a mithya, it's a false thing. There is nothing which makes any reality in this world, rather I will search for the truth behind. So when we start searching like that, and they've got such a degree of detachment to this world, they follow the process of Jnanamargam. They'll automatically be attracted to that. But a devotee is a person who lives in this world very much, but at the same time he is realizing that my life is being wasted in this way. I need to do something that ultimately let me understand Krishna. Krishna's activities have attracted him somehow or the other. Different aspect of the personality of Krishna. Either Krishna's knowledge, Krishna's beauty, or Krishna's wealth, opulences, something or the other. Like the six things mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aishwarya, Samagrastya, Virya, Shishashriya, Jnanam, Vairagyam. One of these things of Krishna's aspect has attracted this devotee towards him, and he will follow the Bhakti Marga process. Now then, who will follow the Karma Margam? Karma Margam is meant for that person who is so attached to this world. He thinks that this world is everything for me. If I don't do things right here, I must work hard, I must earn, I must make money, and I should do this, I should do that. For such a person who has that consciousness, the process of Karma Yoga is recommended. So three different people, three different nature, three different processes. So any of these processes are effective. It is not that only one process will work, but there is a problem there also. If you want to follow the process of Karma Margam, there is lot of problems. Problems are, Narvenna karma marghe khalu vishamadamam. That it is the most difficult process, because in the karma yoga, if one has to execute it properly, one has to understand that the process of karma yoga starts when one is able to function without being attached to the result of karma yoga. That he has to strictly follow the Vedic injunctions, particularly executing the Vedic sacrifices, simply to please Krishna, not expecting any results from that. But majority of the cases, even if one does that, eventually he will not be able to develop that attitude towards the karma yoga, karma process. The karma yoga is the most difficult process of all these three. That is because of this reason only, that as much as you perform Vedic sacrifices, the result will be that you will start getting the results. And when you see the results, you don't want to give it up. You will get more attached to it. And that is the nature of the Vedic sacrifices. There were many, many great kings and saintly people who performed so many Vedic sacrifices in their lifetime. You saw in the case of Prithu Maharaj, and they were even Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was performing so many Ashwamedha sacrifices. Why? Simply by performing sacrifices, the result was that the kingdom was getting opulent all the time. And you cannot imagine the opulence what Maharaj Yudhishthira had at the time, because by then he has performed so many Ashwamedha sacrifices, and including the Rajasuya sacrifice, where Krishna was invited as the chief guest in that. So like this, you can see all these different sacrifices, Adhirash, Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajrayam, there is a number of them, very, very long lasting. Rajasuyam lasted 17 months and 17 days, it says, in Hastinapur, when Krishna was there. So, like this, all these sacrifices are meant to please Krishna, to please Vishnu. And if one is able to execute that properly in that consciousness, then at the time of death, automatically he will be released from this bondage, once for all cycle and death, birth and death. But in some instances, even if one does not make it, he will get an opportunity in the next life to continue from where he has stopped. And most probably, because by executing karma yoga, he has purified himself to such a degree that automatically the devotional qualities will come to him, or he can move on to the bhakti margam in another lifetime. Similarly, jnanis also, they struggle very hard because they have such a degree of renunciation, such a degree of detachment to this material world, that they are able to cultivate, they are able to develop this aspect of life, namely renunciation. That renunciation places Krishna. That is one of the great qualities, that one is able to renounce things, that free oneself from the performing austerities and penances, makes Krishna to accept him. But at the same time, the difficulty with the Jnanamargam is that you have to find a teacher who can teach you that process and eventually take you strongly in that direction. So that requires the teacher. Secondly, you require a higher level of intelligence also to follow that process. That means you have to have that renunciation. And Shuvanda Mutra Purishaval Tyajaha, that is how it says about the renunciation for the jnanis. In other words, we have these, you'll find in so many filthy places, these hogs running around. And normally they eat the stool of the of human beings, their stool they eat. If you see the stool of that animal, how much disgust you feel. To such a degree, if you feel disgusted with the material world, Shastra says you are qualified to become, to follow the process of Jnanamargam. So that kind of renunciation, detachment is necessary for oneself to follow that process. And most majority of the people from this, you can see, will fall into the bhakti process. Why? Because majority of the people do not have that degree of renunciation, nor do they have the capacity to execute the karma yoga to its perfection. So most of the people, they think that somehow or the other they live in this world, and they have this realization also at the same time that I am continuing with my job or work or business or whatever it is to maintain my so-called family and live a life in this world. But at the same time, always is thinking, I am not getting enough time to do something for Krishna. So when these thoughts comes to a person, that is a devotee's nature. So depending on a person's mind, different processes are there. That means, in other words, qualification is that decides which process one has to follow. And out of this process, Naruvinna karma marge ghalishavadamam tul kadada ujagadam jada shraddho bikama naibhunavani naiva shakno mihadam. That I want to do so much for Krishna, but at the same time I have attachment to this material world. I'm not able to completely break away from that. Jada shraddho bikama naibhunavani naiva shakno mihadam. I don't have the strength straight away to break away from all those things. So what do a devotee do in that situation? Tubhuyo nischidena. That I will take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and say to Krishna like this. Toi nihidamana dosha buddhyam bhajamstan. That I will surrender unto you and glorify you to the extent what I can. Tubhuyo nischidena toi nihidamana dosha buddhyam bhajamstan. Pushniyam bhakti meva toi hrdayade. That somehow or the other I will stay in the association of those people who are similarly attached to you. I will keep the right attachment, I will keep the right association, I will stay with them. And at the same time, whatever I can do for you, I will keep doing it and I will continuously take your shelter. In this way, the devotee will make the progress. Even if he is not able to give up all his attachment to this world, because it is not so easy to give up this attachment to this world. It is easy to say that, but when it comes to giving up the attachment, even giving up a simple thing, one-time meal, is sometimes very difficult. That is our position. So we are attached. It is no point in saying we are not attached or anything. But if one can, in the world being attached itself, in the same time, Tadbhuyo nishayena toi nihidamana dosha buddhyam bhajamstan. Understand that my consciousness is not right. I should not be attached to the world to such a degree. What can I do? This is my helplessness. Pushniyam bhakti neva toi hrdayagade mangshu nangshyandi sangah. That even in that consciousness, I will continue to serve Krishna. Because one day I know that by Krishna's grace, all these things can change. My so-called attachment, when Krishna wants, it will break in 1 second. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam says about that. And there is so many interesting topics discussed in Bhagavatam about our attachment to this material world. So from there you can see that this so-called attachment and renunciation is a temporary thing. When Krishna wants that to happen, it will happen also. It is because of Krishna that we feel this attachment to this world. And it is because of Krishna only that this attachment will also break away from this world. So this is how that three different processes has come in. And that in course of time, people have lost this understanding. And then they started saying that there are so many ways to God, so many ways to God. But in the Vedic system, these are the three processes mentioned. For example, if you ask for the other yoga system, like there is Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and all that. They are all supplementing these yoga systems. They are not independent in itself. For example, Ashtanga Yoga system we discuss in the third canto when we are talking about Kapila Vasudeva's instructions to Devahuti Devi. Kapila Vasudeva says, Ashtanga Yoga will help you in your developing the devotion. If one can find a teacher who can teach you nicely and practice it properly, it will help, no doubt about it. Because the dhyana process, meditation process on Krishna's form is possible when mind and the senses are under control. And that is controlled by the Ashtanga Yoga process. So that can help. So all the other yoga system, what in the modern system, what we call as yoga, are all either a supplementary system for these three processes, karma, jnana and bhakti.
Just to follow on based on what you've said, in comparative religions and even within India, people cannot really define who the Supreme Lord is. But irrespective of that, and I just wanted your thoughts on that, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's actually saying that for those that is on the right path in devotional service, even though he does abominable activities, he should be glorified. Yet, most people in the world actually says that if a person is of nice, calm mentality and speaks nicely and gives a lot in charity, is caring for other people, yet isn't fixed in devotional service, he's at a much lower level and in some cases abominable. So how does that all
The, as you read Bhagavatam, you will understand this. These doubts are coming because we try to fill in our mind with various things. After all, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. And nobody else understands Bhagavad Gita better than Krishna, isn't it? That at least we can accept it. That who will understand Bhagavad Gita better than Krishna? We don't need anybody else to tell us that. But the thing is that over a period of time, because of the popularity of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Gita's knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, which you don't get so easily elsewhere, people have taken Bhagavad Gita sometimes to propagate some different philosophies. They have done that in different instances. The result was that many people read Bhagavad Gita and they came to the conclusion that Krishna is not so important, it's Bhagavad Gita that is more important. But for a devotee, Krishna is more important than anything else, because it is from Krishna Bhagavad Gita has come. And in addition to that, the other processes, what has been mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, like Jnanamargam and Karmamargam and even Rajayogam, Krishna says in so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, these things are required for coming into the spiritual path. In spiritual life, to come in, it starts only after once you start following these things. Otherwise, it's not even considered to be spiritual life. In other words, one who does not follow any shastra, anything, doesn't matter, any shastra, is not even considered to be from the Vedic point of view as a human being. That is how the conclusion is. Ye shastra vidimal srajya vartade kamatarenal. That if one who has no shastra, one who has not followed any authority, Bhagavad Krishna says in the same chapter as the divine and the demonic nature, I think it is in the last one or two verses, he talks about shastra, following shastra. And there he says there, that if you do not follow shastra, he says, ya shastra vidimul srijya vartade kama karada nasa siddhimam apnodi nasugham naparam yadim. If he is not following shastra, Krishna says, he will neither be happy in this world, nor he will have a proper destination after death, after he leaves this body. That is how much importance Krishna gives to shastra. And in the last verse he says, tasma shastram pramanande karya karma vyavasthitau nyatva shastra vidhanottam karma kartum iharhasi. Therefore Krishna says, tasma shastram pramanande, the authority in all these cases is shastra. Karya kartamiva ambhasi, karya vivasthidav. To understand what is right and wrong, you need to know the shastra. And jnatva shastra vidhanoktam, if you follow the shastra, karma kartamiha arhasi, based on that basis, you should execute your work. This is how Krishna says to Arjuna. From this we can understand that Krishna is not saying that you have to follow here, only this yoga, everything else is false. No. Krishna says you follow the shastra, and shastra has been given by Krishna. So one who does not follow shastra, for them it is very difficult. And these things, what we read in the Bhagavad Gita, overall if you read, you will come to the understanding. Krishna gives a final verdict at the end. Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam raja aham tvam sarvababhyo mokshayishyami mashujam. Then even if one does not understand what is right and what's wrong, because in life that's what happens, all of us are all the time confused and in crisis, is this the right thing to do or is this the right thing to do, and circumstances sometimes force us to make decisions and sometimes, but in all these situations Krishna says, if that happens to you in one situation, sarva dharma dharmam, that if you simply take shelter of Krishna and pray to Krishna that I have fallen into this situation, mami ekam sharanam braja, if I accept Krishna as the supreme authority and follow Krishna properly, then that will even wipe off all our shortcomings or all our problems otherwise what we would have experienced. So why Krishna consciousness is important? To get that understanding, one has to come and learn and read what Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam, and that is where all these things are discussed in detail. So, how, but before we come to that, We have to study about Krishna a lot more in what Krishna is. And then when Krishna is speaking in the 11th canto about, because this question is not today asked first time. It has been asked for so many times by so many people in the past to Krishna. And the most appropriate question was asked by Uddhava himself. Uddhava asked Krishna exactly the same thing. So many people, sages are telling me so many things is good. Somebody is saying giving charity is considered to be the most important thing. Somebody else is saying one should be very truthful in life. That is the most important thing. Somebody else, these are all great sages and they are all great personalities. Somebody else is saying that cultivating knowledge is very important because through knowledge one can develop spiritual life and go back to the spiritual world. And someone else is saying, none of this is important, more important is one should perform austerities and penances. This is more important. So, jnanam, dhanam, tapasya, like this, number of things were discussed there. When Krishna spoke all these things, Uddhava asked Krishna, touching his feet, he asked him, just tell me what you have got to say about this. This is all I want to hear. You are telling me all these sages are saying different things. And at that time, Krishna answers Uddhava in the most appropriate way. He says to him, my dear Uddhava, all these things do exist. I'm not saying they are all wrong things. But there is nothing more valuable in this world, in this short lifetime, what you have, that is developing Krishna consciousness. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Sandishrayamsi bhuyamsi abhiruji vidaya karminam hamidanim. Krishna puts it there like this. That everything is shreyas, no doubt about it. If you give charity, it is shreyas. If you perform penances, it is shreyas. If you perform, if you study Vedic literature, it is shreyas. Everything is auspicious, no doubt about it. Abhiruji vidaya karminam harmidanim shudranandatma dulyam. That this is all gives you a certain degree of pleasure in life. At the end, you will be benefited from that. But there is nothing to beat Krishna consciousness. That was Arjuna's, Krishna's words to Uddhava. And to support that argument, Krishna quotes the gopis of Vrindavanam, how their life was such a successful life. By their good fortune, they cultivated Krishna consciousness. And just by cultivating Krishna consciousness alone, they never performed dhanavratamo homai. They didn't perform any of these things, no charity. And if you look how much sacrifice, how much penances they have performed, there is only mention of one penance they have performed, that is the trying to please Kartiyayini, Durga Devi once. They performed the penance for about 41 days. All of them together went to Yamuna River, bathed there, and cooked some offering for Durga Devi and offered it to her. Kartiyayini was mentioned there. That's the only penance they have performed. That too when they were young girls, they did that. Otherwise, you don't see them. They have studied anything, they have studied any books, they have not studied any, performed any penances. Nothing they have done. And in spite of all that, Krishna considers the gopis as even superior to Lord Shiva and Lord Balaram. That is their position. So how did this happen to them? Because Krishna says they had the right attitude in life. Because they decided that they have taken me as the complete shelter. That was their greatness. So one who has taken that, for them, all the other things becomes insignificant. They have no value anymore. Whether it is Vedic literature or even any other process has no. It cannot have any higher value than pure love for Krishna. So that is the way it is, and that you will hear better when we discuss.
Okay, I just want to finish that point because you gave me a very long answer to my short question. So, in essence, if a person is situated in Krishna consciousness that does abominable activities, from what you just said, he's at a higher level to a person that is a sweet talk.
First of all, if a person is Krishna consciousness, he doesn't do abominable things. If he's doing abominable things, there's something. That is the way it is. That Bhagavad Gita, when you translate it also, these are sages' words. And when they speak certain things, you have to see through that and understand it. That's what they mean. That they don't give us a license that accidentally one may fall down in one's spiritual life. That can happen. But constantly one is doing abominable things and he is doing devotional service also, that is not devotion service. And that means he is exploiting the holy name and his spiritual life. It's not the right thing to say. This is only happening, sometimes accidentally one may commit offenses, one may fall. That can happen due to accident, due to lack of presence of mind, or due to circumstances something may happen in him. But that is not the ultimate thing. Krishna says there that Abhijayat Sudharajaro Bhajarema Ananya Bhak. If he is surrendering to me wholeheartedly and he is taking my shelter totally, then there is no, you have to consider him as a saintly person. That is what Krishna says. But that does not mean that the persons can continue doing it should kshipram bhavati dharmaatma. It will go by quickly from him, all these bad qualities. Shashat chandim nigachari. And Krishna says he will become peaceful also. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashari. My devotee will never at the end lose the battle. He will win over. Because in the beginning, in Krishna consciousness, every one of us, we will fall in. There is no question about that. We will fall down at so many times because we are just in the beginning stage. But as much as Krishna consciousness gets stronger in one person, automatically everything else will go away. Krishna consciousness will take him further in his life.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I can give you an example which may help you. First coming into temple life, you think, yeah, this is it, you know, you've got everything, you know, the modes of goal, all this, and you're on the process. But actually, in fact, you show you're a natural, you're a natural, just blossom, they come out of you, and it's like an automatic bodily reaction. So you fall down, you know, you come into temple life, you fall down about 5 million times, you know, and still have to come back up the next day and try and approach it again, trying to somehow come through it and realize what the process is. And it's like that. And Arjuna says it in there, you know, what causes a man or compelled to do certain acts, even though it's against his will, but your bodily nature, your narratives, it just happens. And it's almost, you think, what's happening? It's an amazing process.
Yes.
But it's exactly like a super, it just can be so sincere that wow. So,
how can one reconcile being a scientist and a Krishna conscious? Especially if you've got relatives who are aspiring to be scientists and the education system there.
The scientists have a approach in life that as a job it's okay, it's paying the bills, that's all it does. But apart from that, when you think about life, ultimately, life is meant for self-realization, of going back to Krishna. And if this short time, it is lost in the name of so many things, I mean, scientists' activity is only one activity in this world. There are so many other activities which takes our mind away from Krishna consciousness. But in the scientific process, if one is able to appreciate all the time Krishna's greatness in their scientific research, which they don't. All the time when they research and they come out with the result, their conclusion is that it is they who have found out. What they do not know, that this ability to find something out has come from Krishna. It is Krishna's mercy that they were able to suddenly get out some temporary truth, whatever they have invented in this world, but something related with the laws of material nature. But a scientist who is executing a work like that have to constantly engage in glorifying Krishna. Because it's Krishna's energy they are playing with. It is Krishna's wealth they are using for this. And to thought them to think all the time that we are the controllers is nothing but ungratefulness to Krishna. And to offend Krishna, to rejecting Krishna's words, particularly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and to accept something based on their mental speculation and misleading other people in the same way is very offensive to Krishna as well. So So scientist who has got that attitude, if he has to execute his work in that way, he can execute. It is not going to cause so much of a problem, just like any other job one does in this world. But apart from that, nothing will give you the truth. If you are looking for the truth, you have to search for Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no other process easier than that. And that is the conclusion of Krishna, that is the conclusion of all the acharyas as well. Okay, stop there. All glory to Shri.